Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm. Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080. The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here. If you're missing the first hour, you can check that The Fan podcast, 105.1thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Also over on the YouTube, so you can check us out there. If you missed the Sunrise Guys this morning, you can check that out. If you're not going to check Primetime, or if you're not in your car, you can check out Primetime on an Odyssey app or on the YouTube app. We are joined by our good buddy Danny Cannell. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and champion lines, along with a plethora of college football props. Danny, thank you, as always, for carving time out with us in the Northwest. How are we today, man?
What is up, gentlemen? How we doing? It's got to be a great time to be around that Oregon Duck territory.
You know,
fired up to talk to you guys.
You know, life's not so bad up here. You know, whether we went to Oregon or not, you know, those guys help pay our paychecks. So we're quite happy that they're here in the semifinals. Let's get right into it, Danny, about that. You look at this Peach Bowl, the rematch between Indiana and Oregon. And I think from a national perspective, it's very easy to fall in love with this Mendoza, Cignetti, IU situation going on, especially in the modern landscape of college football. Do you see this as just them as a wagon, or does the rematch possibility create something that other people may not be seeing?
Oh, I think it creates something people might not be seeing. I've felt all along that Oregon was being slept on from the off season when, and I know it's hard to say they're being slept on when I think they were, you know, probably what were they, preseason number 7 or 8 in the, you know, in the ranking. So it was hard, but no one was really picking them to win the national championship. No one was picking them to win the Big Ten. You know, it was kind of flying under the radar, and I thought they were being slept on. And I think once, I think at the end of the regular season, teams were like not even talking about them. And yet they get into the college football playoff. When they got in the playoff, I think people were like, they're not going to do any damage. I picked them to go all the way to the championship game. I picked them to win the national championship. So I am clearly somebody that's a believer in what Dan Lanning and the squad can do. So, yeah, I think absolutely. I think they're flying under the radar. I think they have a roster that's as talented as anybody. I think this whole – I thought from 12 teams, now down to 4. I think it's as wide open as I've seen it in there. You know, for the majority of the season, it was, is Ohio State, you know, that team? And then it was, you know, would you take Ohio State or the field? And everybody's like, oh, I might take Ohio State. Then Indiana beats them. It's like, oh, is it Indiana or the field? You know, and then what Indiana did to Alabama, it's like, oh, my gosh. Let me tell you, that Alabama team was so overrated. I loved Indiana in that game. I did not think that was going to be close. Now, I probably thought it would have been, you know, 24-10 would have been a bit. I mean, they dominated. But, like, it was still there. And then I think the reason the Oregon is still being slept on is because they haven't been super impressive yet. Like, at any point, like against James Madison, while they completely dominated, they gave up 3 touchdowns late and made the score. Like, all right. So it wasn't a, you know, super controlled blowout. I was at the Orange Bowl. I would have liked to have seen more from the offense. And so people are talking about that. But did anybody notice the defense pitched the shutout? Like, anybody talk about that? So – And they've had injuries all throughout. Now they've got an injury again with Davison out. So they've just been dealing with a lot. I don't think people have, like, really taken them as a serious national championship contender. I do think they'll have to have their best game yet, but I'm betting that they're still going to get it because I don't think they've had a complete game, maybe all season long, you know, that they've played great from start to finish on both sides of the ball. And I do also think they're good enough. We don't have to play perfect. But I do think against Indiana, they're going to have their best performance of the year.
Well, Dane, before we force you to talk about Miami, which I'm sure you love to do,
You mentioned it, that Davison injury. Without Davison and with Jaden Lamar, two of their top four running backs are gone. When you look at, you know, what Oregon has asked Dante Moore to do this year, he's been very good, but at times he's been a very slow starter. When you look at this Indiana team and how they played Oregon in the first game, is this a game, when you look at Dante, does he have to be – I don't want to – you said they don't have to play perfect, but does this have to be like the most prolific Dante Moore game we've seen of him yet for them to win this?
He's going to have to be the sharpest. I don't think he has to throw it for 400 yards. I don't think he has to go out there and just put the team on his back, but he's got to play a little sharper. And that's the thing that concerned me, you know, a couple interceptions versus James Madison. And, you know, he started off, it's actually funny because he started off pretty strong against Texas Tech, and he was kind of, you know, hit Sadiq a couple times, and, you know, it looks like, oh man, they could just score at will. And then just a couple careless, even the ball handling, the ball, when he put it on the ground, it was like, they just didn't look sharp. This game, he's going to have to, you know, play a lot sharper. Like, that's, to me, is what he'll have to do. So, you know, and the good news is, like, I do think Noah Whittington is somebody who can carry the load. So, but then I worry about De'Aaron Hill as a younger back. Like, then you worry about pass protections for, you know, just a different back that's in there. That's what worries me about the running back position. But, yeah, I do think Dante Moore does need to step up and does need to have a better game. Because, you know, he's been the talk of college football, especially I'm watching SportsCenter this morning and Get Up, and is it Mendoza or Moore? And I was talking about with my co-host on Sirius, Dusty Dvorak, and we're like, and don't take me wrong, because I love him, but he is a little overrated from the production standpoint. Like, I'll ask you guys, because you guys are probably way more familiar with this, what's his best game where it was like lights out, where it just wowed you?
What we tend to say is, I mean, against inferior opponents, Dante is very, very strong. I think one thing that a lot of people up here really get into is there's like a throw against Penn State, a throw against Iowa, where you just go, wow, what was that? And I think that's kind of where people lie.
And that's kind of what I see too. And that's why I think people are excited. I would love to see a game where you go, wow. And I don't think you have to do that. Maybe it's against Miami or Ole Miss in the final. But, like, another comp where C.J. Stroud was a really popular quarterback coming out of Ohio State, and he didn't play, you know, he didn't have that wow moment, but he did against Georgia, ironically, in a loss that they lost on a last-second field goal in the Peach Bowl in the college football playoff that really, like, opened up everybody's eyes and was like, okay, this guy looks, and then he goes number two overall. So I do think Dante has that in him. And granted, look how many injuries he's been dealing with too around him. You know, the receiving core has been banged up. He's been playing with different guys. So I do think that has impacted it. And again, I like him a lot. And that describes any quarterback. Go look at Fernando Mendoza's stats versus the better opponents. You know, Bama, I do not consider one of the best opponents. Like, so, like, that's kind of an outlier. But in the Big Ten championship game, you know, he wasn't spectacular. So I think that describes a lot of college quarterbacks, a lot of guys' stat pad, you know, it's just kind of part of the territory.
Yeah, he's Danny Cannell, courtesy of Bet Online. And one more quick thing, you kind of mentioned him before we get to the other game. It feels like there's a little more pressure on Dante Moore to perform at a higher level. Do you think Fernando Mendoza feels that? Or are we just, again, kind of in love with the Cignetti-Mendoza story, which is maybe one of the best of all time in college football? Does he feel that same pressure, or is he playing house money?
I think he's playing a little bit more with house money. You know, he won the Heisman Trophy. He didn't lose a game. He's, you know, his record is spotless on there. He did just beat Bama and lit him up, you know? So I do think he's playing with a little bit of house money, but you guys know how this is. One bad game, you know, and all of a sudden everybody turns on you. And then if Dante outplays him, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if most draft gurus, you hear him tomorrow, you know, or Saturday, talking about, oh, Dante Moore's the number one pick. Why would you want Fernando Mendoza, who cratered on that stage? It's just, that's life at that, in that stratosphere, when you're talked about as the number one or number two quarterback overall in the NFL draft. But I think both of these guys, like, I think both of them do a phenomenal job of don't letting the pressure get to them. All this ancillary pressure of, you know, are you going to win a national championship? I think both of them, and they're totally different, you know, personalities. I only met Dante for the first time, but I was blown away with how comfortable he was in his own skin, very mature, you know, very calm, cool. And then you got Fernando, who's like America's choir boy. And I say that in a good way. Like, yeah, love him. Like, he's like the perfect kid. Like, but ultimately, I think both of them have really good foundations and where they, the way they were raised, where they come from, their background, they are just very comfortable where I don't think they rely on, I have to win this game in order to justify myself as a quarterback. I think both of them are really comfortable in their own skin.
All right, Danny, we delayed long enough. You got to talk about Miami here a little bit.
Yeah.
This Miami team comes in as the 10 seed in the playoffs, but they're favored in this game. Why is Miami favored despite what we have seen from Ole Miss? Ole Miss's only loss in the entire season is on the road at Georgia in a game that they had control of. What is it about? I know it's the Lane Kiffin of it all, but why is this Ole Miss team still not getting the credit they probably deserve?
So a full disclosure, I'm not tooting my own horn, but I did pick Miami and Oregon in the national championship game. So I've been very bullish on Miami. I get the question about Ole Miss. Their schedule, and I know they play in the almighty SEC where every game is like playing the 85 Chicago Bears. That's the narrative. Their schedule was one of the lightest out there. So their non-conference games were extremely easy. They had the Citadel, they had Georgia State, they had Tulane, and one other cakewalk, you know, Washington State, who they actually struggled with, 24-21.
Ouch, Danny, easy there. I'm alumni, easy.
I'm sorry. Washington State played a bunch of teams tough. I know they had a pretty strong year. But, and then you go through the SEC slate, and they did beat Oklahoma on the road, which was really good. I think it's a lot of, but like they beat Florida, wasn't that good this year. LSU, coach was fired. Arkansas, coach was fired. Kentucky, you know, like there's a coach was
fired.
You know, like so I look at all of these and I'm just like, I think that's why they weren't the SEC team that went through the gauntlet. And even in the playoffs, you know, they got through Tulane, which was kind of a pushover. Now, Georgia, that is a big win, but I think Georgia wasn't the Georgia they used to be. Mm. So I do think that's the reason, but watch out for Trinidad Chambliss, because that dude is special. I like Miami in the game, but Trinidad Chambliss is the wild card. I am betting that he doesn't have the type of game that he did against Georgia. If he does, Miami's going to get beat.
Danny, we'll get you out on this. In terms of the Miami Ole Miss game, there's a lot of chatter up here about Mario Cristobal, as you can imagine. From your perspective, because we can be in a little bit of a bubble up here, has the narrative changed on Mario, or does he need to get this one last? Did he just need to win a playoff game to kind of shed some naysayers, or should he get one more to kind of cement that what he's doing at Miami is for real?
I think he's silenced all the critics of one. I was one, you know, was very hard on him as I, you know, I'm a Florida State guy. I just, you know, I get all the late game decision making, the not taking a knee against Georgia Tech. In this year alone, his conservative style almost cost him a spot in the playoffs, mm-hmm. because he should have beaten Notre Dame by more points, but mm-hmm. he kind of sat in the lead. I was there in Tallahassee to watch him play Florida State. They were up 28-3, let off the gas. Florida State come back, and the score didn't look that like a blowout like it was. But you know what I think ironically helped them? The style points that they needed to get into this. At the end of the season, you know, they had four games left, and they had two losses, and everyone's like, they have to blow out everybody. And they did, and they started throwing the ball in the fourth quarter, and it worked. I think that was a huge thing for Mario Cristobal to, like, maybe, I don't know if he learned it yet, or if it, you know, because he's been very conservative in this playoff, because he hasn't had to be aggressive. But I do think even the most critical person of Mario Cristobal has been like, I didn't see this team going this far. So I think he is truly playing with house money. If they get beat against Ole Miss, I think it stings. But I think you're feeling really good about the future and feeling like, all right, we've got our guy. He can bring this place where we want to go.
He's Danny Cannell, comes on courtesy of Bet Online. Check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and champion lines, along with a plethora of college football playoff props. Danny, thanks so much. Maybe we'll swing around for the Natty and catch up with you again.
Awesome. I'd love to. Good luck to your Ducks.
Thanks, amigo. We'll catch you next time. That is Danny Cannell. Again, check out betonline.ag for updated college football playoff semifinal game and champion lines, along with a plethora of CFP props. A big shout out to our boy Jimmy for hooking us up with Danny Cannell. We might have to send Danny an email and say that you and I are not, are not Ducks. Look, we just work here, buddy. No, we just work here. You know, he had to talk about Miami. We got to talk about the Ducks. Let's put a pin on this. We'll come back and then kind of react to some of the things he had to say there. Cristobal, Chambliss, I'm kind of most interested on some of the stuff he said there. We'll do that next. 105.1 The Fan.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if it...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
We'll continue our jaunt around the NFL in about 15 minutes. We'll get to the Houston Texans, our Houston Texans. Lots of times I say that jokingly. I mean it. We are both giant Houston Texans fans on this show for the way they play football. We'll get to that in about 15 minutes or so, but just kind of put a pin in our conversation with Danny Cannell and continue our conversation. We'll get to some more Miami Ole Miss real breakdown in the big neuter. Also, a reminder, it is a 10 toes down Thursday. 503-864-6326 is the Fan text line or over on the YouTube. Things we have to unequivocally say yes to or no to, depending on how we feel. The Ducks are in the Peach Bowl, and the Fan is hitting the road with a watch party at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location. Dirt and Anthony Newman get things started with Ducks Game Day presented by Coors Light on location at noon. That's right, we are bumped tomorrow. We're only a two-hour show tomorrow. We'll toss it to those guys out there. Join the Fan Friday, January 9th at the Thirsty Lions Washington Square location for the rematch of Oregon and Indiana in the college football playoff semifinals. Something that I found interesting, Danny, as we were talking in the break, Cannell's kind of on board with you about Dante Moore, and we kind of chatted about this a little bit. I am enamored with the upside of Dante, which is probably why I tend to wax on a lot more about Dante than most people do here, even at the Fan or just kind of in general. But he's kind of with you. I can see the throws that he makes. I can see the talent that he has. I just need more of it.
Yeah.
Can we talk about with Blazers, like with Shaedon Sharpe, like the talent's there. I want consistency.
And that's the name of the game. And you know, Danny asked us and you answered kind of what generally it feels like. And he has the capacity. But real quick, like, what's Dante Moore's best game against not a FCS team? Like, off the top of your head, does it come to mind or do individual moments come to mind?
Well,
the throw up the middle against Iowa, the throw to the outside to Malik Benson. Like, there's like five or six, like
the DeCorian Moore in Penn State.
Yeah.
The Northwestern game. I thought he was really good in the Northwestern game. They turned out to be a better team than we thought, but they're still pretty middling. It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. I thought he had a good game against USC, but not perfect. So what is the game of Dante? I don't know that, but I've seen enough of those little snippets that get my pants a little tight.
Look, this isn't Julian saying where you're asking him not to.
God, no.
Don't screw up and be prolific against bad teams. Because with the exception of, you know, Indiana, like that game obviously is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't really have bad games, but he didn't have like against above bar teams. He didn't have great games.
And I think that's something that should not be understated. That
he didn't crap his pants.
Even though he didn't have great games, he had what's his worst game? What's Dante's worst game?
Probably Wisconsin, but that's also that weather was a complete and utter disaster.
Take away from that. I mean, he wasn't terrible against Indiana.
I think that this kind of struck me a little bit as we were you guys were talking to Danny Cannell there, and perhaps this is unfair in one direction or also the other, but Dante Moore sometimes this season, like watching what he did against Tech and whatnot, and I don't know how many balls he threw directly into a chest, the chest of a defender, but it's almost like diet Sam Darnold experience. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, that's actually, yeah, I'd agree with that.
So, because, you know, you get your ups, and his ups are great. Like you said, you know, you'll get that throw every now and then once or twice a game where you're like, oh my gosh. Because
that throw that he had against Iowa in that game, he was 13 of 21 for a buck 12 and a pick.
Yeah.
Like outside of that throw, he was bad.
Right. So I just that one kind of struck me. I was like, I think that might be
again,
a comparison.
Weather and all those things and Iowa and all of those kind of things. But like, you know, and it was unfortunate that he had the Wisconsin-Iowa games back to back. But, you know, against USC, 257, two touchdowns, pick, you know, okay. Washington, he was good, 286 and a touchdown, but
I also think
didn't really go off.
I also think that it's twofold. One, I think if we're going to critique Dante for not being great, we can't critique him for not being not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
And also, you know, I talked with Dirt about this kind of off the air, just trying to figure out, you know, is it a Will Stein thing? Is it a Dante Moore thing? Is it a slow start, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, it's all of it. So I think some of it, too, is against these teams that Oregon was better than, but not by the Oklahoma State, Oregon State, Montana State, Northwestern margin, the Iowas, USC's, Penn States of the world. They didn't, Texas Tech, I would argue this, too, they don't need him to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I wish we had Danny on longer, Cannell on longer, because I want to ask him about Dante and Fernando as college quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes we are so enamored with these guys as NFL prospects that we want them to play like NFL quarterbacks now. And sometimes, look, we're not Julian saying guys now on this show.
No, going forward, sure.
But they were in the playoff, and a lot of people thought they were the best team by just having a quarterback that doesn't screw it up. And I think that, and we were worried that Dante was going to have to play a perfect game for Oregon to win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've had two people, Tyson Alger, the local guy, and Danny Cannell, the national guy, both tell us he doesn't have to be perfect. He's got to be sharp.
Can't make mistakes.
And I think that is something that we have to realize that that might be who Dante is as a college quarterback now.
Well, super high-level game manager?
Yeah, basically.
People, and people hear game manager and they think it's backhanded.
Not anymore.
It's like, it's not, man. Don't make mistakes.
And maybe we need to stop thinking about Dante and Fernando and Ty and DJ Lagway and Julian Sain and Bear Bachmeyer throwing 500 yards and six touchdowns because it just doesn't exist in today's college football.
I think, too, that, you know, despite being projected already as like a top five pick in the draft, it's amazing how much people and how real the possibility seems that Dante could return next season to get himself a little bit more seasoning and get himself more ready for the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, considering the way that he arrived at Oregon, you know, transferring there, knowing that he's going to sit for a season behind Dylan Gabriel and sit and soak it all in and absorb it. And so I think there's a real shot he comes back next season and tries to get himself more NFL ready.
I mean, honestly, Ty Simpson, he declared I would come back if I were Ty Simpson. If I'm Fernando Mendoza, hell, dude, I might come back too. I mean, it's too late now with what Indiana's done in the portal, but I think we saw a very, very great quarterback class a couple years in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And almost all of those guys, sans J.J. McCarthy, were ready.
Yep.
Michael Penix, battle-tested.
Mm-hmm.
Drake May, not on a great team, battle-tested. Caleb Williams, Heisman Trophy. Bo, two-year starter, Heisman finalist. You know, these guys were Penix, transferred, went to a natty. Mm-hmm. These guys were battle-tested. And, I mean, Fernando... Jane. Say Fernando goes to a natty or Dante goes to a natty, you could say they're battle-tested, but they just don't feel the same.
Well, they don't have the number of starts.
Exactly.
That's like, Bo Nix was the quarterback with the most starts until Dylan Gabriel passed him last year.
And some of that's COVID year, getting the extra year. But there's a lot of snaps.
Penix, experience.
This ain't Trey Lance.
No.
This ain't J.J. McCarthy.
No, or Anthony Richardson, where he's got 13 starts. Like, Dante has 17 career starts.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not that the difference between Dante and Bo, I mean, you're talking about, 40 more starts?
And Mendoza has more starts, but those Cal teams were not very good.
No, but it's still live bullets.
It's still live bullets.
Like, that's for me, that's the difference. And I think that's what you see Mendoza look, not even a little bit, but significantly more confident and comfortable at times.
I just want this game to start. I'm tired of talking about this game.
Tomorrow.
I just want to watch football. Tomorrow. I just want to watch football. Let's jump back to the NFL. We'll continue our walkabout of the NFL playoff teams. Up next, the Houston Texans. Maybe the nastiest defense we've seen in a long time. Can this offense get them to the promised land? There's the Kahuna with sports.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Well, my cup's already over. We'll have Web Gems next, everybody's favorite. One more point with Dante Fellas, as Oregon hasn't asked him to carry the team. Oregon's top 10 rushing team in the country for yards and YPC. It's true.
That's true. It's certainly great that they're not missing two running backs then.
I think we acknowledge that. I think we are very aware that this Oregon team is a very balanced squad. That's kind of why I mention it. Like, I really wish we could get the NFL narrative out of our head, because I just want to watch college quarterbacks to be great college quarterbacks. Who's my favorite college quarterback of all time? It's probably Tim Tebow. Mm. And every time I say that, somebody goes, yeah, but he sucked in the NFL. And I was like, I never mentioned the NFL. I'm talking to you about quarterbacks I enjoyed watching play. We're having a conversation about Kobe Bryant in the break. There are lots of people that are plus Kobe, minus Kobe. I will admit, I love Kobe because I love the brand of Kobe. I don't know if he's the greatest basketball player of all time, and the stats might not back it. But sometimes you just got to love. Sometimes it's okay just to love brands and love players.
Hmm.
No. Fair? Can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Starting at just $30 for your first year, that's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We've continued this trip around the NFL looking at playoff teams. And somebody who's been kind of a constant in and out of the playoffs, and that leads us to the Houston Texans, okay? Tomorrow, that leaves us with the Philadelphia Eagles, the Buffalo Bills, and the Los Angeles Rams, as I feel those are the three teams with probably the best chance to win the Super Bowl right now outside of the Seattle Seahawks of teams playing this weekend, and maybe the Denver Broncos as well. But let's get into this Houston Texan team. Danny, I feel like you were on the jump of this defense a lot earlier than everybody else. I joined you a little shortly behind that. This team has an identity. This team's identity is D'Amico Ryan. It's a little bit kind of
tearing your head off and spitting down your neck.
Yeah, it's kind of a little bit, as I've kind of said some things about Dan Lanning over the years. You know, I think Dan Lanning's identity was a defensive guy, but Dan Lanning's identity now is intensity. Mm-hmm. And I think D'Amico's got that on an NFL level at a very high level. His offense is not as good as his defense. Correct. Okay, it's not even close. That defense is probably the best defense in the NFL.
What's funny is the Seahawks, because of the last game of the season, edged out the Texans in points allowed.
Probably. Oh, really?
Yeah, they just got them.
But there's something that D'Amico has done, and this is why former players are such a fascinating concept to me as head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that offensive guys are worse than defensive guys, or you know, linebackers are better than wide receivers. I don't necessarily mean that.
I'm pro linebacker as my head coach.
But there is something about the Mike Vrabels of the world and the D'Amico Ryans of the world that really give you that intensity, mm-hmm, that doesn't seem manufactured. It's hard to convince professional athletes to run through a brick wall for you. Let's take J.J. Redick, for example. Mm-hmm. How are things going in L.A. with the Lakers for him right now?
Well, I think it's because J.J.'s just a genuine red ass.
I understand that. But D'Amico, like, that rah-rah, that college vibe works in Houston.
Look, I can't remember what podcast it was from, but they were talking about Patrick Willis and how insane he was as a player. And I told you this one yesterday. We were talking about linebackers off air. And the quote was, "I want my middle linebacker to eat his steak with his bare hands." And that's what Patrick Willis did. They're talking about a dinner one time. Patrick Willis just grabbed the steak off the plate with his bare hands and just ate it. It was just, you know, he's the pure unadulterated psychopath. I want my linebacker to be mentally unstable. And
Agreed.
That's how I want, like, Mike Vrabel is mentally unstable. D'Amico Ryans is mentally unstable.
Lawrence,
like,
Taylor is the most mentally unstable.
Look, if you want to flip it over to the NBA, Ime Udoka is unstable.
Yes,
like,
yes, he is.
If you're going to be this coach that's going to be a defensive-oriented psychopath, I want you, like, Robert Saleh, mentally unstable. Like
bite kneecaps.
Yeah, Dan Campbell, like mentally unstable. Be that guy. I know I'm all, you know, rah-rah, high tea, you know, lunatic coach. Like that's what I want.
And
that's
all guys who like football.
Yeah,
and that's
all
brand
like football. They like me back.
Yeah. I don't want Sirianni. I don't want to water the bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
I want to run through a wall for you. Like Kyle Whittingham, I want to run through a wall for you. You know what I mean? Like that's Lanning. I want to run through a wall for you. Yeah. Like those are the kind of coaches that have always, like for me, that I have loved. But they also have a roster that wants to kill you. Danielle Hunter is going to kill you. Will Anderson is going to kill you. Tuotu is going to kill you. Shakir is going to kill you. Like that entire defense, there is nobody on that unit. You're like, you're a bitch.
You
know what I mean? Like everyone wants to kill you.
I've seen mock drafts that have them taking Amari Washington from the University of Oregon in the first round. Does that not fit the brand? That fits the brand. Let me put some things in perspective. For the Houston Texans, they are 12-5, finished second in the AFC South behind the Jacksonville Jaguars. They have five losses. Three of those were the first 3 weeks of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 3 weeks later, they had another one. 2 weeks after that, they had another one. They are the hottest team in the NFL right now. They rattled off victories against the Jags, Titans, Bills, Colts, Chiefs, Cardinals, Raiders, Chargers, Colts. Not the toughest, but this team is flying right now. CJ Stroud is healthy. This offense can go, and I've said this. We said this in the middle of the year when they started to come on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need C.J. Stroud to be Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-mm.
I don't need him to be Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen. I need some semblance of a quarterback, and this team can go very, very far, and I think C.J.'s picking that up. Offensive totals over the last few weeks, 40 points, 23, 20, 38, like 38, 40 points. The offense finds moments where they start clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Can they be consistent? That's going to be the potential downfall or the biggest question.
And remember, those losses that they had to start the season, those losses to the Rams, the Bucks, and the Jags, it was 14-9, 5-point game. 2019, 1-point game. 17-10, touchdown game. And then you lose to Seattle by 8, and you lose to Denver by 3. I mean, and what?
It's impressive.
Three of their five losses are on the road.
You blew out the Ravens on the road. You handled business against the Jags at home. That game against the Bills, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That game reeked of Josh going to do this. And Houston said, nope, no thank you.
I mean, they're tested. They are tested. Full out. They are.
Like, I think they're the scariest team in the AFC.
I want to agree with you. I vacillate between them and the Jags. Just to talk about, like, I factor in so much, not just the season, but like how you're playing going in. And I know we haven't really talked about the Broncos at all as the one seed, and we haven't really talked a ton about the Seahawks as the one seed, but it's like Seattle, Jacksonville, Houston are probably the three hottest teams going into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
I would agree. And Denver should be on that list, but that problem is that offense just seems so clunky at times.
Mm-hmm.
Like Houston's offense seems kind of MIA. It doesn't seem clunky. Like, When the Broncos offense does not execute, you're kind of going, why? When Houston doesn't, you're kind of like, they have issues.
Their offensive line isn't good. Their wide receiver core is beat up.
CJ's been beat up all year as well, concussions, etc. They're the team I don't want to play.
I mean, defensively, I know the Seahawks ended up with the number one scoring unit defense, but that Houston defense, it's different. They want to kill you. And there's just something about that, like, when you watch them play, it feels different. Like when we watched the Oregon-Texas Tech game in that first half,
mm-hmm.
the way that Texas Tech team was hitting Oregon, I don't think Oregon had been hit like that by a front seven all season.
Yeah, like, I don't think so.
Iowa beats you up, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But that front seven for Tech was just mauling them.
And I think you just have to hope if you're a Texans fan that you're not Texas Tech's offense.
Yes.
Because even though that defense
That's why I said that there was a similarity between Tech and the Texans.
Tech's defense was otherworldly and never once did I think Oregon was going to lose that game. They will take on the Houston Texans will take on the Steelers. That is the Monday night game. Look, Aaron might have it in the tank still. He's one of the smartest QBs to ever play. One of the most God-gifted. Sure, he's over 40. He's slowed down. I don't know how I'd pick against the Texans in this game.
Neither.
I think it's going to be a long day.
I've rode that wagon all season.
Aaron's going to have to be perfect.
Yeah, he's going to be really, really good.
And DK's going to have to show up. And I like this defense. Mm-hmm. I like the Texans. Give me the Texans. When we come back, it's Web Gems. I want to retire the GOAT. You got a long way to go, brother. We'll get to that next. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Meringue on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
All right, this Web Gems, everybody's favorite. Do it every single day at 11:45. Give you a little preview of the big nooner. We'll get into that Miami-Ole Miss game. Nobody's believing in Trinidad Chambliss, huh?
I mean, I do.
Just been proving doubters wrong all year in the game for Mario. It's also a Thursday. That means we got 10 toes down at 12:15. Make sure you get those in. 503-864-6326. That's 503-864-6326 or over on the YouTube chat. Statements that we unequivocally have to say yes or no to. No wishy-washy. No fence sitting. 10 toes down. We'll get to that in the big nooner. But today's Web Gems, brought to you by what is it? Monkeys and glory holes?
Smiles and glory holes.
This comes to you from Jera. Jera has made some statements. I guess he's finally decided to start thinking about retirement. Okay. Probably should have done that about 10 years, buddy, but this is his statement. This is just too funny. This is his statement on retiring.
My goal in life is to retire as the owner that won the most Super Bowls. That's my goal. To be retired in the NFL as the owner that won the most Super Bowls. We've got three. How many more do I have to go as a single owner? Bob's got how many? Six. So I've got work to do. Got work to do. I got work to do, but at least I'm up to the second rung in the ladder. But my goal is to have retired and won the most Super Bowl as an owner.
That's Jerry Jones, who would like to pass Bob. If you're not familiar, he's talking about Robert Kraft.
How nice is that to be like, yeah, old Bob.
Yeah, yeah, that whole little New England thing that went down there, you're just kind of behind that. Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, the Patriots have won Super Bowls within the last 20 years. In fact, they win playoff games in the last 20 years as well. This is a crazy old man.
Oh, he's gone.
This is a crazy, crazy old man.
How old is he now?
We do not spend a lot of time talking about the Cowboys on this show, as they used to be written on the board behind me of things we do not speak of.
83. He's got city miles.
You know, there is a lot of...
I certainly thought he was in his 90s.
When I listen to Jera, he reminds me of my grandfather, my mother's dad. He is from Georgia, grew up on a peach farm, and he always, Pat, you ever had a Red Bull? He talks to me like that. It tastes like piss, but it's good for old guys like me. Mm-hmm. You know, Jerry sometimes sounds like my wonderful grandfather. I love this goal for you as a retirement goal. Hey, Jerry, my retirement goal is to be a voter for the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb, Danny, and I think there's a better chance I become a voter than he does passing Robert Kraft.
I mean, of getting one more.
Yeah. I mean, even if Robert Kraft sold the team right now, okay, let's say the Patriots sell, he would be number one? Would he be tied with, is the Hunt family still on the Chiefs?
Yeah, but I feel like that's changed hands at least.
Yeah,
right now.
Has it?
You kind of work your way around that. I don't know.
What about the Maras in New York City?
I got two.
Were they weren't around for Parcells?
No, they were then too, yeah.
So
I got three. So he's on the second rung.
He's on the second rung, tied with a bunch of people. Yeah. Okay. I mean, like,
how about win a playoff game first?
How about draft like an adult?
Yeah. No, they draft really well.
Sometimes they non-skill position players, they draft really well. Now, Dak was a find in the fourth round. That there's no doubt about that. Dak was a great find. But, you know, he gets a little Al Davis sometimes in the skill position. They've been excellent at the offensive line over the last 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. Tony had good offensive lines. Dax had good offensive lines. I think you need to focus about drafting before you start focus about Super Bowls. I think you need to focus about hiring competent head coaches because...
And coordinators.
Jason Garrett seems like a real nice guy. I like him on TV. I think he's okay on TV.
Good luck with Matt Eberflus. Oh, that's right.
I mean, Parcells, the game had kind of passed Parcells by the time he showed up there. Mm-hmm. I just, we'll see about Brian. We'll see about Shoddy. I just,
it's just a lot of yes men.
It really is. And like, when you see him sit up there in that press conference, his kid looks old.
Yeah. I mean, Jerry looks like Skeletor.
He does. Oh. And he's like talking to the microphone. His like hands are shaking.
Yeah. It's
like, like he's me after a Tuesday night. Damn, dude.
It's tough.
Oh, that is Web Gems. We do it every single day at 11:45. Coming up next is the Big Nooner. We got a football game tonight. It's about damn time, dude. I'm getting antsy in these games.
There you go.
I'm getting antsy in these games.
It's a nice little standalone.
Ole Miss Miami tonight in the Fiesta Bowl. Who going to party tonight? Big Noon is next. 105.1 The Fan.